This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
We also asked them about something we're going to talk about right now, which has to do with college football. For those that haven't caught up with the news today, one of the biggest stories is Matthew Sluka. He's the quarterback of UNLV.
Was the quarterback.
Soon to be former, officially, quarterback of UNLV. This morning, he put out a statement on his Twitter account that he is redshirting now, and he's leaving the program, to sum it up. And ESPN reported that he was verbally promised a minimum of $100,000 from a UNLV assistant coach. Multiple sources told CBS Sports that Sluka had not received any NIL money from UNLV. There's some conflicting reports that say UNLV never agreed to anything. The collective is out there already publicly for UNLV saying we didn't agree to anything. And that's where it gets to a gray area, because this is the issue with where we're at in college football with name, image, and likeness. I think name, image, and likeness is something we should have had a long time ago, but because we waited so long, they allowed each state to operate differently. There's not a true framework for how it overall works. They are not actually getting the money from the school. They're getting it from collective, so the school can say we never had an agreement. The collective usually does have a written agreement if there's a car dealership that is paying X amount of money.
But, and the rules just changed where you can now agree to those deals before enrollment. It used to have to be after enrollment, so maybe his agent got confused.
The state of Missouri is one of the few states that allows, if you're in high school and you committed to Mizzou, let's say, you can already start getting NIL payments. It is not a great system that we have in place. The idea is great. Should have happened a long time ago. The system is not, needs to be a firm contract, etc. But what's interesting about this scenario, other than just like the people arguing about the gray area of stuff, is that if you did have a player that was promised something, it's the first time we have publicly seen said player choose to leave the program.
Correct.
There may have been a player that's left a program that we didn't know why he left, and it was because of the same thing. But this is a quarterback of a team that's top 25, 3-0, just beat Kansas. Why the hell he could not play last week? You know, he could have made this decision a week ago.
Yeah, that would really help you.
He's playing my alma mater.
He only threw for 76 passing yards. Look, the problem inevitably.
We'll get to the, go ahead.
Yeah, the
we'll
problem
get to
inevitably
the text
is
line in a second.
Yeah, I don't understand what some of the people's arguments are for why you would have any, like, a verbal agreement, right, doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Okay, but it meant something to him. They told him they would pay him the money. He said, cool, I'll come to UNLV because you're going to pay me the money. And when they didn't pay, he said, cool, I'm not going to work anymore. If you took a job and then they said, we'll pay you $100,000 a year, and you got to the job and they said it's 40, you'd quit. And yeah, should you have gotten it in writing? Should you have protected yourself? Yes. But what I don't understand is protecting these institutions from doing shady stuff. Patrick Mahomes, Ross Tucker, every single person, national people over on social media, have said that there is a massive problem in college football right now that is now coming to light as a result of this decision, which is there are a lot of empty promises made to these kids of how much NIL money they will receive versus what they are actually paid.
Well, and
that's
not great. Some of the collectives don't have the money.
Yeah, they're like, we'll get it eventually.
So there's a promise that they don't have the money raised yet. And I'll go back to something we mentioned earlier. Like, Nick Saban was talking about this recently, that even at Alabama, they sometimes do not have the money through the collective to pay the player what was promised. And so they're having to, the university side is having to take care of it. So that's just a bigger lesson. You know, somebody said verbal agreements don't mean bleep.
Great. He'll figure it out this time.
Tough lesson to learn, kid. Get in writing. Okay, so
so wherever he goes to school next year, he'll get it in writing.
The verbal agreement part, here's where I agree and also disagree. Nobody is saying, you're right, if it's not written in contract, nobody's saying he can go and is going to be able to sue them and get $100,000 if that's the verbal agreement. Nope, I don't think that's what I, at least that's what I'm arguing at all.
I'm not arguing.
I am saying that if you're going to then criticize the kid from leaving the program because of verbal agreement that he was promised, like, you're acting like that doesn't matter.
His verbal agreement is that he would play for the school. Now he doesn't have to.
Yeah, so.
He wouldn't redshirt.
Yeah, you should get it in writing. He's probably not going to be able to sue them and get the money. But this is happening to other players around the country as well, where a promise is kept. I think you gave a good example, obviously, like just in your line of work, any whatever you're doing, you're listening, whatever you do for a living. If you were promised a base salary, and then also they told you, yeah, you're going to get 10% commission on every single sale, and then 4 months in the job, you haven't been paid for the commission, and they said, oh, by the way, we're not doing that. One of our managers messed up, accidentally told you that. You didn't get in writing. You're an idiot. Okay, you could still say the guy's an idiot for not getting in writing. It doesn't mean you might be pissed off and say, well, I don't have to stay. I can leave. And that's what this quarterback has chosen to do. He is choosing to leave because he didn't get what he believes he was promised.
I think it... So after doing a little bit more of the research and stuff, like I'm full on board with the kid got screwed thing. I wonder, because to me, the agent shouldn't have gone with the coach in what he said, more of like, you need to get clarification. Like, you don't negotiate a deal with a coworker.
I know, man.
You negotiate with the boss and with management. So I think what they should have done originally, and this is the agent. This is not the kid, because the players can hire agents. So ultimately, it's up to the agent to get everything figured out properly, is figure out exactly what the deal is, when it was signed, when it was agreed to, because UNLV didn't approach to make a written agreement because the collective wasn't the one that made the offer in the first place. It was the coach. That's where I think the Coach Saban has said they need contracts. It helps the entire process out differently, because you get into sticky situations in college where state law, I looked it up, it's not the NCAA, it's state law, prohibits schools from offering money for play, which it sounds like the school, the coach did. So,
but I think
UNLV,
Drew,
as a result, can be in more hot water because they essentially got caught, basically, it seems like, breaking the state law for name, image, and likeness. This isn't on the kid. This is on the school.
Sure.
And on the agent, I think, for not figuring out the proper
They may have gotten caught, but also I think none of us are naive enough to think that the NIL collective is the one that's going on the recruiting trip and promising money through name, image, and likeness. It's still the assistant coach or the head coach. So like this idea of like the school's not really offering the money. They are still. It's going through the club, but the school is still promising a figure. You know, what's the kid, Drew, you would know, the Pavia or whatever from New Mexico State.
Yes.
What's his first name?
Diego
Pavia.
To go to Vanderbilt,
He went to Vandy. When they were recruiting him, I doubt they said, hey, we'll get you some cash later. Don't worry about it. Just sign here. I'm sure they said a specific dollar amount. Doesn't mean that the school is giving them money. Doesn't mean that the head coach had to be the one offering it. Like, these guys don't just transfer. And by the way, this quarterback UNLV did transfer. He might have transferred from a small school,
Holy Cross.
But he still transferred there for a reason. He didn't just pick UNLV because he likes the lights and sounds of Las Vegas and Barry Odom. That might be part of it. I bet you they also offered him a pretty lucrative package, which sounds like was $100,000. The whole system is effed up.
Yeah.
Needs to have contracts. We all agree.
I think it's more common. This is the problem I have with him in particular. I'm glad I actually really like that he's standing up for himself in this. Is that we keep talking about it like he's not Zion Williamson. He's not Quinn Ewers. He was a 3-year starter at Holy Cross.
Yes.
Going to a bad football program in UNLV. Do you think he gets the best agent? Do you think he gets the best guy to handle his stuff? Do you think the verbal stuff probably happens more at the small level? All of those things,
yeah,
I think, are inevitably true. So I think it's more likely that a player at his level, a group of five player coming from an FCS school, is going to get taken advantage of this. And the bigger issue is that college football is still trying to find different ways to screw over college kids. So if he wants to stand up and say, no, he's never going to be an NFL quarterback. Let's be honest. He's probably never going to be an NFL player. So his one chance to get a free and clear $100,000 before he goes into his not everybody goes pro and something else, right before that happens for
that
him,
commercial.
His only chance to get that cash is this one single year at the FBS level because he's in his senior year. So he's got a redshirt in order to get paid. Right, right. He's never getting that check otherwise.
And it does stink for his teammates. Nobody's discounting that. I mean, this team is 3-0, and now they lost their quarterback, and they're not – whatever they were hoping to accomplish, they're not going to be able to accomplish. That sucks for his teammates. His teammates did nothing wrong. That is part of this equation as well. But if we're going to, on one hand, say, like, he's quitting on his teammates – what if you're that teammate? What if you're also a high school kid that's thinking about going to UNLV, and when they're recruiting you, they're telling you you're going to get, let's call it $20,000 through an NIL deal. Why should I trust them?
I wouldn't. No,
you know, I so mean, they're like, a dump anyway.
Why should I trust them?
Right, and maybe forget like the breaking the state law portion of it. They're already screwing themselves over for this situation in general. It'll be, you're right in the fact that it sucks that this had to be the situation or the way that it went in a way for things to maybe actually change. But I think we've had this conversation in college sports for the last 2 or 3 years, you know, where every individual state has different laws and certain states have an advantage over other states for recruiting purposes because they're able to give high schoolers money, some aren't, and all this other stuff. The NCAA, it all goes back to them sitting on their hands in the end and not being able to come up with a proper solution of it.
I am also, yeah, and I'm still surprised, like, how many texts and people on social gold, we still get the, well, you know, how much does that degree cost at UNLV? Not disagreeing, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it cost. That is part of his compensation, okay? Part. It is not his entire compensation. It is part of it. And agreed upon, whether it be verbal or not, part of his compensation. Just because the kid at Alabama gets the free education doesn't mean Milroe doesn't also get $1 million. That is, it's just the same as any other job with multiple forms. Gold makes a salary here. Mm. He can make money in other ways from the company. Just because he makes the salary doesn't mean he doesn't also get to make the additional money just because one thing is also paid for. It's great to get a free education. Wish we all got it, but still.
You hit the nail on the head there. I think the way that it's easily described for everybody at a basic level is the scholarship is essentially paying players to go. Like, you're getting the scholarship because you're good at football. We want you to play here. That's your scholarship. Those are all allowed.
I'm getting that everywhere, by the way. Not just this university. Everyone's giving me that part.
Right. The extra part is what makes you potentially go to a school more than another school in this situation with college sports. You know, you want to be able to make the most for what you can. And the ultimately, in the end, you should be able to make, if you're that good of an influencer, NFTs, whatever the case may be, you should be able to make that extra NIL money anywhere. Unfortunately, every situation is different across the state, and that's what's causing certain problems with certain programs, as you guys mentioned, with like smaller schools like UNLV.
I just weird. You know what it is that this has been happening. College football hasn't changed in it. It's like these, we promised a kid a certain amount of money, a bag full of cash, and then he didn't get all the cash. That's been happening forever. Trill Withers' example of this is just essentially drug dealers, and you can't go to the cops because everything you're doing is shady, is underhanded.
There are no cops.
And there are no cops. There's no policing of it. And this is what college football, hopefully this will be the impetus behind, let's throw up some extra guardrails. Gold, you had said earlier, hey, NIL's great, want to get the payers played. What if we had a cap, you know, so we can spread the talent around, make sure kids are getting paid, make sure that there's a legally binding deal that allows them to get their money if in case they're not getting their money from some of these organizations. I like all of that. The problem is we are in the very early stages, just like anything else. So it's the Wild West. And when it's the Wild West, sometimes kids aren't going to get paid. And that stinks until they get the system like better worked out. I would like some more guardrails, but it all just feels like underhanded.
Maybe this is what will prompt change, man. Maybe this will be.
It won't be college football choosing it. They hate change.
Yeah.
It's crazy that the NCAA always is looking at, you know, deal or like players, like the whole players not being eligible, like eligibility questions and all that other stuff. You guys are more worried about that than looking at the coaches who are lying to recruits about proper payments for stuff. Like, you're not trying to solve that problem, which is a bigger one.
Turns out when there's a lot of big money into a sport, sometimes
it's 100%. You know? The UNLV one is just Shocker. Wild because because of their start to the season, you would think they would also be like, hey, we got a special season coming. Let's just make this happen. Based off of what they're doing.
I think his agent said he'd be willing to come back if he got what he was promised, I think, is what I saw somebody had put out.
I mean, if I'm a UNLV booster, or I own a company there, and I actually, like, I got the money, and I already give some money to the school and the athletic department, and, like, I'm going to be continuing to us, wouldn't I be calling up the program and be like,
I would.
What the hell are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, what am I giving you this money for? I thought, you know, we're 3-0 for the first time in a million years. We can make the college football playoff.
All right, coming up next, we'll get to what's trending, and then you'll hear our conversation with Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. He told us what he's seen from this Chiefs offense and his thoughts on NIL.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.